So, Be'ezer Hashem, I want to talk about this amazing Gemara that I saw over there in Chagiga at the bottom of 13b and to the top of 14a. Rabbi Shimon HaTzadik is describing this concept of the Tadka Doros. There's this mystical concept of the 974 generations, that it arose in Hashem's mind to create them, and then he, so to speak, changed his mind and snatched them away and spread them out throughout history. Now, obviously, that immediately raises tremendous problems. What do you mean Hashem changes his mind? And what's with the number 974? So it goes like this. The Leshem Shavu Achlama Schutu Yagin Aleinu explains very deep, very beautiful like this. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, in Psalms, Davar Tzilba Le'alef Dor, that Hashem decided to give his Torah to 1,000 generations. Leshem says, okay, what are these 1,000 generations? He says briefly that all the souls in the world come from the two basic energies of expansion and constriction, or chasadim and gevuros. And there's five major components of these expansive energies and five major components of these constrictive energies. And that's why we have five right-hand fingers and five left-hand fingers. They're called five chasadim, five expansive energies, five right-hand fingers, and five gevurot, five constrictive energies, five left-hand fingers. And for whatever reason that we're not going to explain, that's multiplied by 100. So you have 500 expansive energies, 500 constrictive energies. It equals 1,000 together. These are the 1,000 generations of souls. And there's a deep idea that before time began, the Leshem explains there was an attempt that we know that there were 26 generations from Adam HaRishon, the first person, until Moshe, until Moses brought the Torah down to the Jewish people. 26. Now, 26 is a very fascinating number because that is the numerical value of Hashem's main name, Yud and He and Vav and He. Yud is 10, He is 5, Vav is 6, He is 5, equals 26. 26 generations from Adam to Moses to express that these were generations that had extremely holy tzaddikim in them, in each one of them, that were so holy that the world existed in their merit. Because otherwise, on what merit did the world exist when the Torah had not yet been given? And from this number 26 is where we get 974. Because as we said, there are the concept of 1,000 generations. It's not literally necessarily 1,000 generations, but it's this concept of 1,000 major units of human soul. And we explain how we got to 1,000. And they're called generations because the soul is meant to develop across generations. So 26 of these elements are extremely holy. And the other 974, because when you take 26 away from 1,000, you get 974. The other 974 are problematic. Leshem explains what happened. He says, amazingly, that before time began, all elements of reality were smushed together, merged together, stuck together in a one-dimensional situation. Meaning to say that nowadays, after creation has begun, so it says in the Midrash and in Gemara that every blade of grass has a constellation above it, striking it to grow. And there's an angel above that constellation, striking it. And up and up and up and up and up, trillions and trillions and endless levels, until Hashem's infinite light itself. And in order for Hashem's infinite light to finally squeeze itself, so to speak, and congeal as that blade of grass, there's endless step-down processes of constriction, obfuscation, shrinking, and so forth. It's called simsum. It's called simsumim, constrictions, which are also called gevurot, constrictions, like the left hand. So, one of the hints to this, that there are five expansive energies and five constrictive energies, is that in the verses in Bereishis, in the creation, it mentions the light five times. God said, let there be light. There was light. God said light, that it was good. God divided between the light and the darkness. God called the light day. Five times the light. So five right hand fingers. Five expansive energies. And then in the next day of creation, there are five times it is mentioning the firmament, the rakia. The rakia, the firmament, is what firms up reality and holds back flow. And also there, firmament is mentioned five times. So that's five constrictive energies, five fingers of the left hand. So, at the beginning of time, though, all these expansive energies and all these constrictive energies of creation were just jumbled together. Completely flat land. In other words, if we can imagine that right now, there's all these levels separating the highest constellations and beyond to the blade of grass. But if we can imagine that prior to that, all those levels were just merging together. It's not complete chaos, because all the levels are set up in their configuration. This root, this holy divine light, and this holy divine angel, and the roots of them are paired with what they would eventually express in the physical world when time began and space began. But before time began, we can kind of picture a very crude analogy as like a pop-up book. So, you know, they have these pop-up books where you have to pop them out. But before you pop them out, they're all on one level, on one page. And then you pop them out, and then you can see them come out in three dimensions. That's what the reality was like prior to time and space beginning. This is called prior to the creation. Now, the deep thing is that, as we said, there's 1,000 basic energies of soul for all human souls. And that 974 of that set of 1,000, the Leshem, the Holy Leshem teaches us, was outside of Hashem's divine, perfect divine light. But that the remaining 26, as we said, that this is the 26 generations that upheld the world until the Torah was given, because there were huge tzaddikim in each one of those generations. They did not come out of Hashem's light, so to speak. They stayed tucked safely away inside, so to speak, of Hashem's light. And so now there's a split. There's a split in the human psyche, in the human soul, between the set of 974 and the 26. Now watch what happens. The Leshem gives us another deep secret. He reveals a deep secret that's been revealed, but he really reveals it. That actually we know from learning basic Kabbalistic ideas, and as is mentioned pretty much in every recording of mine, that before Hashem started to build the world, he first shattered it all those pieces of the pop-up book of history that existed before they bulged out into three-dimensional time and space, a process, and before and after, and inward and inner and outer, and all the directions and so forth. That there was a situation where the top level of that configuration of energy was these 974 souls. Because in the realms of creation, just outside of Hashem's perfect divine light, reside the souls. And these souls were split into two camps. The 974 that was sitting outside of Hashem's perfect divinity, and then 26 that did not yet emerge out of the perfect divinity. And the 974 were sitting perched atop that pop-out book thing as they wanted to be the rulers, because they felt the incredible pull, the incredible thrill, that even though they were extremely abstract energies and we can't even really imagine what they were, and the Sefer Emek HaMelech says they had sapphire-like bodies, like they were abstract possibilities of souls even. They were not embodied, but they had bechira, they had free will. And as we've spoken out many times, the word bechira, free will, is sharing the same shoresh in Hebrew, the same root, the same linguistic root as chibor, to combine or connect, and chayrev, to destroy. And these souls could have connected, used their free will, their bechira, to connect all of the energies of the pop-out book back completely, whatever this means, to Hashem's perfect divinity, and crowned Hashem king over the energies of the universe for of all time and space before they began. And what that implies is they would have crowned over them the 26 generations, the 26 energies that did not come out, that remained sitting inside of Hashem, which would have meant they would have subjugated themselves to beings above them. And everyone hates doing that. Everyone hates subjugating. And a default way, we don't like to recognize that somebody's greater than us. At first, the immature part of ourselves does not want to be lesser than. The wise part understands that this is how it's set up. But the immature part fundamentally rebels against that, being subordinate. So, to someone who's actually holier. So these 974 energies of soul decided that instead of subjugating their will and crowning Hashem king over the universe, instead they tried to snatch the world away from Hashem if that were possible. And so to speak, to them and to our experience now, they did. They separated further from Hashem until they blasted everything apart. Everything became completely dislodged from everything else. And there was the expression in the universe of the extreme amount of disorder that there could ever be. Now, when I say that phrase, I mean it very specifically, because there is a limit to the disorder and evil that Hashem thought up originally as possible in this creation. He bounded that possibility of disorder and evil in the first thoughts of this creation. There cannot be more disorder and evil than was originally thought as possible by Hashem, because this whole universe is really a product of his thought anyway. And so since it is a product of his thought, it can't go outside the bounds of what's possible that he thought it could be. So evil is absolutely not something that actually is outside of Hashem's domain. Rather, he actually created it. And not only that, but he circumscribed how evil and how disordered things can be. And what the 974 chose to do was they wanted to rule this world. And the deep secret that Leshem says is that they were responsible for the Shviras HaKelim. Through their choice, kicks off at least a major part of the Shviras HaKelim, the part that brings out evil. They were responsible for the part of the shattering of the vessels, the shattering of the energies of all time and space, which would bring out evil. And not only bring out evil, but bring out the possibility of the maximum amount of evil that there could be in this universe. They brought it all the way to the maximum possibility. Wow. So back to the Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara in Chagiga is saying, Rav Shimon HaTzadik is saying, what's the verse in Tanakh? Because everything is hinted to in Tanakh. Everything is hinted to in the Hebrew Bible. Where do we find a verse that hints to this? And it's a verse in Eov, in Job, the book of Job, about suffering. And the verse is, Ashakumtu below 8, Nahar Yasok Yisoidam. That they shriveled and were snatched away before their time. The river sets up their foundation. Rav Shimon HaTzadik says, these are the 974 generations that Hashem thought to create before time and space and snatch them away. But we know really they snatched themselves away by choosing wrong. It was an extremely hard test. And the fascinating thing is now we see that there's even a prior sin that precedes the Chet Eitz Hadas, the sin of the tree of good knowledge of good and evil, which is even more prior to that sin, which was even more circumscribing on reality. Meaning there's an even deeper context of a calamity and a catastrophe brought about by a poor choice that frames our lives henceforth, that's even more all-encompassing and prior, which are the same. All-encompassing and prior are the same. Time and space, where something is all-encompassing conceptually, spatially, so to speak, it also means it happened first. And that was the sin of the 974 generations. By the way, it's clear in the Leshem that the sin of the tree of knowledge of good and evil is this halfway experience. That when Adam started to choose wrong, things spun out of hand very quickly. But there were points along the chain of the mistake where Adam could have gone back. Meaning, whereas by the 974 generations that blew up the universe, literally, before everything began, there was one choice, there was one moment of choice, so to speak, in the blink of an eye, and they chose wrong, and that was it. It slipped out of their fingers, and the world blew up. And by the way, by the world blowing up, this was actually something ultimately positive, because the function of the world shattering was that, as we said, before the world shattered, all of its components were stuck together on the page of the pop-up book, so to speak. And actually, this is called a seemingly negative thing that brings out something positive. Because the 974 messed up, that cracked open reality, so to speak. It extracted all the levels from each other. It broke them apart and allowed for us to have a more rich experience. That because of their sin and fault, actually, Leshem brings in a very deep way, this is called Nora Lila, there was a pretext for this to happen. That even though it was their choice, Leshem wanted this to happen because he wanted the levels to be separated from each other through the calamity, such that we would put the levels back together. That's the deep secret. We would combine the angel to the constellation, to the blade of grass, and inside of it all, our prayers, connecting straight to Hashem. So, now, the next turn here is to say, okay, so the verse in Job is saying, Ashakumtu below 8, that they shriveled away before time. The Marsha in the Chiddush Agudos says, before time means before time began, they shriveled away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, instead of manifesting them in a full glorious way by them choosing to subjugate themselves to holiness and completely manifesting the perfection of Mashiach, of Messiah, of the world to come, all at once, says the Leshem, that was their possibility. Meaning they could have popped out that pop-up book in a completely perfect way in one fell swoop. But they didn't. Instead, they shattered it. Now, we have to put it together through a process of time. So the depth, the deep secret in the Marsha, I believe he knew this secret. I believe he was a Mekubal. And if not, I should know. But if not, he had Ruach HaKodesh to say it, that before time even begins, through their sin, they make everything shrivel up and die. Now, in order for it to be rebuilt in the aspect of Tchias HaMeisim, in the aspect of resurrection of the dead, which is occurring all the time, presently, as the Leshem quotes the Arizal, stating that if you notice in the brachas of Atagi Bor Le'olam Hashem, in the second bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei, it talks about resurrection of the dead in present tense. Mechayim Esim, Berachmi Rabim. You presently resurrect the dead. But wait, I thought the resurrection of the dead was something that happens way later, in the future, after the world is perfected. Leshem says, you're right. But that's in a certain aspect. But in another way, we're constantly bringing back to life the broken, destroyed, killed materials of shattered, fallen energies that fell and died by the sin of these 974. We're constantly lifting them up. And we're constantly resurrecting the dead. Now, the depth here is that the Leshem says in another deep place, speaking about the parsha we just read, Lech Lecha, where Hashem promises Avraham that he will be the father of all the holy souls. And after he makes that promise, he shows Avraham a vision and he takes him through an experience where Avraham cuts four animals in half and walks between the two halves of the animals. Leshem says, what's going on here? He says, that splitting, first of all, the Midrash says that these are the four exiles that were a decree. Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome are these four things cut in half. And as we cross through those epochs in history, as we cross through those exiles, we conquer them. We walk through and we pull the holiness out of those exiles, and then they collapse. Like, where is Babylon now? Where is the mighty Persian Empire now? Funny enough, they're coming back through Rome and Iran and all that. But Leshem says, why should that be represented by walking through split parts? The deep answer from the Leshem is, that's that split between the two elements of the souls. The elements of the 26, the holy souls that hold up the world, which are the 26 generations of receiving the Torah, which were never tainted, which stayed, so to speak, inside of divinity, and were never tainted by the shattering of the vessels. That's one part, but the other half is the parts of ourselves that's 974. That's the evil inclination within each person. And Hashem was telling Abraham that wherever he walks, and subsequently wherever any Jew walks, because he's walking between the parts, is a decree that Hashem sends us. He sends our feet walking and so forth to where we are decreed to go, because we must combine and fix up and pair together the part of ourselves that's coming from the 26 perfect parts, and fix it, using that to fix up the parts of ourselves, our evil inclinations, our negativity, sadness, anger, lust, desire, laziness, all the negative is coming from the 974, which broke the world, and combining them together and fixing up the 974. This is a decree. This is really why we go through the exiles, which is why we go through everything we go through. and which is where, why exactly we go, where we go, when we go, and what we experience when we're there. So that is what Rav Shimon HaChassid is speaking about on this verse in Job, Asher kumtu below 8, Nahar Yisrael Kisodom, that they shriveled away before time began, because they broke the world before time began. And then, what does it mean that the river becomes their foundation? It's explained, based on that Gemara, as well as the Kabbalistic Parish, that the river is called the Nar Dinor, the river of fire that scorches away all negativity and is Hashem's force of strict justice in the world. So the river of fire of harsh experiences is what is ultimately giving these energies a foundation, because by default they have no foundation, because their existence began by stubbornly refusing to be founded upon a higher level, to subjugate themselves to Hashem as their foundation. And foundation is called Yesod Yitzadik Olam, and that's a deep secret, because the foundation is called sexual morality and sexual purity, which means proper relationship between male and female energy. And they refuse to have that proper connection with a higher level, which would be like the idea of having a foundation in holiness, having a pure relationship. So now, how are they going to have any existence? How are they going to have any foundation if their whole constitution is through the concept of immorality, of failing to couple together in a productive, holy way, like the idea of a holy Jewish family, and rather to be part of the world of licentiousness and all of its spectra? So what gives them existence, since they should have no existence? Because when you take what they're about to the extreme, they swirl and explode out of control because they don't know how to couple. And so the Gemara says, well, what gives them a foundation is severe judgments. They're forged in a fire. That's what gives them a foundation, the sufferings, the severe judgments. That whips them into shape. And that's not just talking about the nations, but parts of ourselves. Lesha makes explicit, every holy Jew has a part of himself that's in the maelstrom, that's in the whirlpool, that's in the negativity of the world of the 974. That's why we have to go where we have to go. That's why the Jewish people, Hashem, Moshe, and Avraham, were decreed to go to Egypt, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, and so forth. And to go, and that's on a macro level, but on a micro level, to go everywhere they would be decreed to go, to forge those connections and to repair those energies. So that's one way to read the verse. Rav Shimon HaTzadik's way. Asher kumtu b'leit nahar yitzok yisodom, that they shriveled away before time began, and now the river of fire of harsh judgments is going to forge them back into shape, back into order. And that's what we go through when we experience challenges. Because we experience challenges because, I mean, I can't say like every challenge is like this, because I don't want to speak outside what's true. But certainly in the places where we're tested to be moral, where we're tested to be calm and not get angry, where we're tested by lust, desires, anger, sadness, laziness, certainly in those times is where we're encountering a part of ourselves that's coming from the world of the 974, from that broken world. And we have to correct it. And that's why Hashem takes us by a decree into those situations, because we can't escape and avoid that we have to fix those situations. That's why we're led to them. So that's how Rav Shimon HaChassid reads the verse. But then there's Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, and he reads the verse in the exact opposite way. Instead of this verse applying to the negative 974, he reads it basically according to the 26. I mean, he doesn't say it explicitly in the Gemara, But he says, this verse applies to Talmidei Chachamim. Now, what does it mean, kum to below eight? Says the Marasha, it means that they shrink themselves and restrict themselves and force themselves to learn Torah in this hassled, hurried world in order that in the other side of the story, where we exit time, at the end of the process, there was a time before time where time hadn't become a sequence of past, present, and future, and that was before everything got started, where there was no order of time because everything was, as we said, smushed together in the pop-up book. That's going on the what happened by the negative 974 energies. The Marasha says the same verse in Job applies to the other aspect of beyond time, which is at the end of the process, when we exit the hassles and the subjugations of being subjugated to time and being able to be in one place at one time and never having enough time to get done what we feel we need to get done. When we finally have that harchava, we finally have that release and that expansion and a release from the bondages of time, says the Marasha, the ones who are Talmidei Chachamim, who shrunk themselves in a positive way. He's reading the word kumtu, that were shriveled and shrunk, now in a righteous way, that they restricted themselves, and instead of going after and being pulled after their desires to consume for the sake of consuming, to rule and have honor for the sake of rulership and honor, to have pleasure just for the sake of pleasure, and so forth, but that they constricted themselves and squeezed themselves and said no, and instead chose to apply themselves in that moment where there were so many options. They constrict themselves and they shrink themselves and say no. In this moment, I will do Torah or a mitzvah. Those ones, when time is over, will have the river as their foundation. But instead of the river of fire, it'll be the beautiful river, says the Marasha, the Nahara de Arfar Simona, the rivers of light, of scented, beautiful scents and lights, the scented, fragrant rivers of light. So the exact opposite of the harsh river of fire that's just knocking the negative people into shape, because this is what it all means. We each, now thank God I was able to go to Chabad this past Shabbos and I heard Rav Isernu say very beautifully in the name of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Skuti Ganaleno, Zeker Sadi Kadosh V'Vracha, that we can break down our experience now into two elements. And I want to suggest that the two elements, the Rebbe says it's Torah mitzvahs and everything else. I want to say that parallels the split in the universe between the world, the perfect world of the 26 generations versus the disordered world of the 974. There's Torah mitzvahs, which is constricting ourselves to doing the Torah and the mitzvah when there's everything else we would want to do. And then there's being compelled by our desires that basically force us to act animalistic in certain degrees. So the Rebbe says like this. He says now, you can break up all experience. If you've ever done a mitzvah and ever learned Torah, so now you're able to make the following distinction. You can break all experience, meaning everything, because we experience everything. We can break down all experience into the experience of choosing to do Torah and mitzvot and then doing them, and then everything else, meaning all of nature, all of our desires, all of our basic needs, and so forth. Everything else. Everything that's not the experience of Torah and mitzvah. So the Rebbe says, everything else that's not Torah and mitzvah is being forced by Hashem to behave that way. So the tree is forced to be like a tree. The wave is forced to crash like a wave. The moon is forced to shine like a moon. Red is forced to look red. On and on and on. Everything's forced. Not only that, but now this is where it gets interesting. From the side of our evil inclination and our lusts and desires and angers and sadness and laziness, that it feels like we're being forced to be bad. Yes, because inside of us, there's something that's forcing us to act that way. Where does that come from? It comes from the world of the 974. Because in that side of our personality, the consequence, so to speak, of wanting to rule the universe and not subjugate to Hashem, i.e. not do the ultimate mitzvah of crowning Hashem king over all existence, is that now that part of ourselves would feel compelled against its own will, like as if it didn't have a choice, would feel compelled to act like an animal, to act cruel, to act with lust, to be completely not in control of oneself. And now that's a world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forced it. But see, the deep thing about that is that that world, all experience that's outside of Torah and mitzvahs, it's literally outside. It's exterior too. It's the world that's exterior to the inner force of a Jew choosing to do a mitzvah and choosing to do Torah. All of that is called exterior will. Meaning, it's not the panemius of the ratzon. It's not the true will that Hashem has in mind for this world. It's rather the context. It's the supporting role. It's that Hashem wanted a Jew to go through the challenges of choosing to restrict himself and do the Torah mitzvah, and in that way actually make a free will choice, because everything else is not free will choice. Everything else is just, I like this. Why do you like it? Because that's your nature. You didn't choose to like that. Only place, says the Rebbe, where we choose is when we choose to do a mitzvah. Period. Everything else, we're kind of automatically programmed that way. But we can do mitzvahs every step of the way. It just depends on how we do what we do. So therefore, all that is not Torah mitzvah is the external will, the secondary will, that there is a will for the world so that a Jew could be challenged to do Torah mitzvahs in that challenging world where we're pressured and we don't feel like we have enough time. But so here's the thing. I want to suggest that when the Pasuk in Iyov says, Asher kumtu below eight, nari yitzak yisodan, and the Marsha says in both cases it's reading before time began or after time is over, I want to also suggest that by Lebracha, by the Talmid Chachamim, who, as we said before, are making Brecha, are grafting the inner light into the outer experience, and pooling the upper bracha into the lower bracha, from inner to outer. When we say low eight, it also means no time, meaning that we're always rushed. We never feel like we have enough time. Oh, and back to Adam. So Adam, by the way, in his sin, the lesson breaks it down and says, first, you should know there's stages to the sin. He started to look at negativity, the possibility of negativity. Then, by doing that, that caused the negative force to infiltrate the Nachash, because it wasn't just the snake that was evil. It was the force of the Samech Mem, the force of all negativity, infused itself into that snake and rode it like a vehicle. And then he enticed Chava, Eve, to eat. And then he had a relationship with her and put his filth and poison into her. And then for whatever reason, Adam had a relationship with Chava. and the filth of the snake that was in Chava got onto Adam. But the Leshem says, if Adam, even though Adam did wrong by looking at negative and so forth, and eating, he ate before he had relations with Chava, after she had had relations with the snake, with the Samach Mem inside of the snake, Adam could have reversed the process. So he had time to reverse course. So it's just an interesting illustration now of that Adam's Chet Eitz Hadas is a middle level between the extremely quick failure and ultimate cataclysmic failure of the 974 generations, where it was a split second failure, which was extremely traumatic to all reality across all time and space. Whereas by Adam in the garden, Hashem had already fixed a lot of reality that was never going to get messed up again. And Adam had several steps along the way to turn back and prevent the ultimate disaster, which was when he actually had a relationship with Chava, when she had the snake's poison inside of her, which made a permanent damage in all of humanity, because now the negativity could fully latch on to human beings. Now this is getting into another topic. But you just see how he's a middle level. Because obviously Adam didn't shatter the whole world, but he did do something that was extremely far-reaching and would have far-reaching implications until the end of time. Versus us now in our situatedness, the deep thing here is now is that, as we said, all moments now are grafted into each other. All prior moments are seeping into this one. And the depth of that is, in fact, the more moments that have occurred, it's like the less we can mess up the whole system, because so much has already been fixed. It's very, very deep. There's actually more and more order all the time, because more and more moments we've gone through and we've lived out those moments and we've ordered them. And that increasing amount of ordered moments is actually introducing more and more stability into the universe. And perhaps we can see that and feel encouraged. That even though on the one hand the Leshem says that history, according to the Gemara and Sota, Ein Yom Shekilkulo Yoter Gadol, like it says in the Yimei Mashiach Chutz B'Yiske, it's going to be very, very problematic in the end of time. And the Leshem asks a question on that. He says, how could that be if we're constantly doing tikkunim? Again, the Leshem asks, how is it possible that it says in the Gemara and Sota at the end that everything's getting worse and worse, when we know that Lamaisa, we're making corrections all the time? So things are getting more and more corrected, and all the energies of the universe flow together. They're all one set, they're all one structure, because they started together and they're going to end together. So if everything's being fixed all the time and more order is being introduced into the system, so how can you say that every day is getting worse? It doesn't make sense at all. Answer says, this is a very deep thing, but to our senses, things are getting worse, because what we are immediately confronted with is like the bottom of the barrel of the possibilities of evil. Because just like holiness has a structure and a plan, and there's a decree of what we're going to go through to create more and more holiness out of chaos, more and more holy order and tikkun out of chaos, so too, the negativity, which was brought about by the cataclysmic failure of the 974, has itself a structure, which is the opposite inverse of the holiness. So just as the holiness is increasing all the time, so to that degree, the nature and the form of the negativity that we have to, our decree, the exile, the shape of the exile, the nature of the exile that we are decreed to go through later and later points in time is worse and worse. That even though on the inside things are constantly being improved, but to the immediate edge of experience, the negative things that we're facing off are the worst. Okay. So that answers that question. So to sum this all up, the Rebbe was saying, there's doing a mitzvah, and then there's everything else. There's doing Torah mitzvah, and then there's everything else. And I was thinking now, this reminds me of the verse when Adam is being created, and before Chava, before Eve, was separated off of Adam, it says, Lo tov heyot adam levado, esai lo ezer kenegdo. It's not good for man to be alone. Let me make a helpmate to oppose him. And we know what eventually happens is that Chava, yes, helps man, but at the same time, she's the portal by which the negativity reinfects humanity, as we said. So she definitely represents, the Isha definitely represents the place where an Ish can express his choice to do a mitzvah, or God forbid, can be brought down by his failure to do the mitzvah. Because it's very, very clear in what the tzaddikim really say about the chet etz hadas, about the sin of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, was that really it was all Adam's fault. Yes, Eve ate first, but it's because of what Adam did. Because Adam got into what he wasn't supposed to and started to look and investigate into negativity, that was what caused the Satan, the Samech Mem, the negativity, to invest himself in the snake, and for evil to sprout up out of the ground, so to speak, to that whatever. There's a long, long discussion that evil was very far away from holiness at that time, and because Adam got involved in things he wasn't supposed to, and that's a whole other topic, like how did that work? But that he caused the snake to attack Eve and live with her, so he brought it upon himself. So that's what that tells you, that the woman, it's not like the woman is bad, it's that the woman is reflecting where a man is holding in his free will. Meaning, this is what it means, Ezer Kenegdo, and that the woman, the idea of the Isha expands beyond just being his wife, but the Zel Yishto Zabeta, the wife is the house, and the house is the world, because the first letter of the Torah is the letter base, and base is a bias is a house, because the whole world is created with the letter base, says the Zohar. Base, is, says Rav Kook, is the whole expression of Rishima, of Tzimtzum, of constriction within which we live and manifest. The dot in the middle of the base is the holy letter Aleph, says the Leshem and many tzaddikim coming out to express. And the deep thing about that is that the dot in the base is the dagesh. It turns the letter vet, right? If you write the letter base without the dot, without the dagesh, it's vase. It's a soft letter. But when you write that dot, it turns it from a soft letter into a hard letter, to a letter with feeling, like you can literally feel it more. And the tzaddikim say such an amazing thing, that dot is really the light of the aleph, of or, of light, that gives feeling, emphasis to this whole universe. Okay, so the baby woke up, but the thing is with that feeling, that feeling that turns a vet into a bet, that makes a dagesh, this is so deep. That's why the Isha, the bias, the external world, is a Ezer Kenegdo. Because think about this. If we didn't have all of those pressures pushing against us, such that a mitzvah and Torah, the choice to do it, is precisely through the action and the thrust of pushing back against resistance, because it's not, the Leshem says as well, it's not really Torah and it's not really mitzvah unless it involves kefiyas ha'yetzer, unless it involves some aspect of subjugating the evil inclination, of subjugating this world with the 974. So that's the depth of this. This surrounding level, this context, this Isha, this bias, this woman, this house, this world, is called an Ezer Kenegdo. A helpful force that pushes against us, Because watch this, because by pushing against us, we can't express the thrust of a mitzvah unless we're pushing against resistance. And it's not to say, of course, Chava helps Adam. When he's doing what he's supposed to do, she becomes the Eim Kol Chai. She becomes the mother of all life. She becomes the place where, within which he can express his holy mitzvot. Specifically by at first opposing him. By being the thing, by being the element that caused, that was the expression of his mistake. Because we can only feel the feeling of pushing to do a mitzvah when there's resistance. We can only feel that dagish. We can only feel that feeling of pushing in the holy direction to do a mitzvah when we feel pushed against. When we feel pushed against, that's how we can feel pushing forward. Rabbi Nachman talks about this explicitly. It's called the Koach HaMa'akev and the Koach HaMoshech. The opposing force that opposes holiness and the force that draws holiness in. The Ezer Kenegdo means we can only feel the drawing down, the drawing out, the pushing out, and pushing to thrust forth a mitzvah when we feel pushed back against. Amen.